from the book of Acts, and knowing Brother Rodney's going to be coming in Sunday night, of course. And I tell you, God's using him all over the world. He's been in, where all has he been? Brother Rodney, where all? About the last four, every week he's been somewhere. Holland, and anyway, he's going to come in here on fire. And then he comes in, preaches on Sunday morning in his own church, and flies out Sunday afternoon across the water somewhere. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we need to pray for those that God is using in a very special way. And we thank God for that. You know, we ministered in really kind of a series. This is the way the Lord seemed to give it to my understanding. The power of waiting patiently in faith. And we've had a lot of comment on that because, you know, I like go for it. I'm a go for it kind of a preacher. But, you know, there is also the power of waiting patiently in faith believing. I said there's the power of waiting patiently in faith believing. You know, the Lord commanded them not to jump up and go, but he said, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. And 120 people, I can't even imagine the challenge of the upper room. I mean, they didn't just come for a Sunday morning service or a Sunday evening service or a Wednesday service or even every night for four, five, or six nights. You got 120 people who are gathered in the upper room, and I know there are physical things that they would have to be absent for a few moments. But I mean, 120 people, 500 heard it, 120 did it. And church, listen to me. God pours out of his highest blessings upon those who take his word seriously. Because there is no word of God that is void of power. No matter what the promise is, and I know there are conditions to receiving from God, but no matter what the promise is, whatever God gives a promise for, there is power in that word to fulfill that promise. And many times we're guilty of just reading something. Well, that's nice, or I believe that. I believe it. I really believe it. I believe. But, you know, there's something to be said for patiently waiting in faith, believing. And that's what they did in the upper room. I mean, they weren't just parked there, you know, for a given period of time. They were patiently waiting in faith, believing. Now, Americans are very impatient people. And all of us, I mean, I certainly have a tendency that has had to be sanctified in that particular area. Because there are times of waiting, and it's the times between the times that challenge your real faith in God. I mean, we love the manifestation, but every church service is not the same. Amen. Every church service is not the same. Every revival service is not the same. You'd get, well, you wouldn't get bored, but I mean, it would become common, kind of same old, same old. You know, as we look at the week that is before us, I don't know all that God's going to be doing. I know what God has done in the past. I know what we've seen God do. And, you know, I don't know how a pastor could have a heart any stronger for revival than to be committed for 9 months. I mean, show me the church and show me the pastor. Nowadays, especially. Amen. Now, years ago, I've been involved even as an associate minister in services for 9 weeks. But that still is a good period of time in church world life today. All right, so we ministered on the power of waiting patiently in faith believing. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2 of Acts, there is the power of God's perfect timing. And how many know that God has a time? And our calendar is not always His calendar, and our time is not always His time. There's times that I felt like God let me down, or that God didn't hear and answer prayer. You've all had that suspicion, and so don't look at me in that blank stare, you know. No, you're not. But the Bible said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, fully. So they waited patiently in faith believing. Amen. I remember Janet Yeager telling of her father and mother that, you know, churches go through times when we say, oh, Lord, how long, how long? We need you to move right now. But I know her mother went to church, just got an unction from God, and they had a balcony in that building, and she just went all over that building, just dusting off seats and went up the balcony. She said, I'm getting ready. Company's coming. I'm getting ready. Company's coming. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember that testimony. I don't remember where I heard it or how I heard it, but I know, is that accurate? Amen. She was a woman of faith. I'm telling you, she really was and still is. The power of patiently waiting in faith, and then the power of God's perfect timing. I'm going to tell you, when what we're expecting in faith, believing in God's perfect timing come together, you've got yourself an awesome miracle of God on the way. Praise the Lord. I told you the story of how that we had an indefinite call. I mean, they said, you come, you'll be the pastor. You can stay here as long as you want to stay. Do whatever God tells you to do. The minister they had for a number of years had gone on to be with the Lord. And they appreciated our ministry years ago. But I had a word of prophecy. I know we're not guided by prophecy. Prophecy must be confirmed in your own spirit. Amen. I mean, it's easy to say things off. I say it's easy. Some people find it easy to say things off the top of their head. But, you know, you better have a witness with God, because some people have sold things or done things or traveled in things. And, you know, I could write a book on some things I've seen over a period of time. But the power of God's perfect timing, 2 years after Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin said, you know, you can make this move, but it will be in the permissive will of God. The Spirit of God went on to say, if you'll wait, you'll move in the perfect will of God. And I tell you, we had looked and looked and looked and couldn't find anything that was suitable as far as a meeting place at that time. But 2 years later, it just, it just, the power of God's perfect timing. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the power of God's perfect timing. Now, the third chapter, really, there's so many titles you could give this third chapter in the book of Acts. But the Bible said Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, lame from his mother's womb. This man had more than a headache. This man had more than a twitch, or, you know, just some kind of a little something that every once in a while he'd, you know, have to fight off pain. But a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This is the way that this man made a living. He didn't, you know, stand on a street corner, on a freeway corner, and when he got through, go get in his new 150 Ford pickup and go to a nice home, walking very straightly and seemingly with nothing wrong. I mean, this was a very legitimate situation. And he had been at Gate Beautiful. He was at the right place, but it just wasn't happening for him. And, of course, asking alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us. Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew, and they knew, and they knew. There was no doubt about it. They knew who he was. He was a fixture at Gate Beautiful. Just as sure as the sun would rise, that man would be carried to Gate Beautiful, lame from his mother's womb. But they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Hallelujah. 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 And when Peter saw it, he answered and said unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus Christ." Healing glorifies God. Healing glorifies the Son of God. Healing glorifies the Word of God. Because God is a healer. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. And notice, going down to verse 16, "And his name," the name of Jesus, "his name, through faith in his name." Not just the name, his name, through faith in his name. His name, through faith in his name. We've heard of this healing miracle tonight, but she received her healing in his name. She received her healing in his name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, praise the Lord. You know, there's a book that God brought into my hand and into my life when I was in Bible college. And the title of it at that time was "Healing the Sick and Casting Out Devils" by T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne was used so mightily by God, and then it's been revised and has a different cover on it, but it still has the same, virtually the same content by evangelist T.L. Osborne, who's gone on to be with the Lord. And the title is Healing the Sick, a Living Classic. Healing the Sick, a Living Classic. Hallelujah. The gospel is the power of God. I'm going to read just about half a page here, and then I just was reading it, and it was such a blessing, and I didn't have time to write down. I just wanted to give you the words as they touched my heart this week in study. The gospel is the power of God to everyone that believes. The gospel is the power of God to everyone that believes. The word is powerful, but it's powerful to those who believe the word. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. When believed and acted upon, any promise of God is transformed into the power of God. I welcome being called a word person. I am a word preacher. I think that's as kind a reference as you could give to a man of God, a word person. But we don't just believe in reading it or just carrying it under our arm or in our hand or in our briefcase. You've got to believe that word for the word to work in your life. So you read a verse. You know, it's wonderful. I know my granddaughter was telling me, she said, Granddaddy, I'm doing a fast-track reading of the Word of God. She's been reading 13 chapters a day. Well, good night. You'd be walking on the water after doing that, you know. But you can read 13 chapters a day, and it doesn't take you all year to read the Word of God. You can read it, I believe, in a third of the time, something like that. I would like to re-ask her that. But it's right in line with this. When believed and acted upon, any promise of God is transformed into the power of God. It's print on a page until you believe it. It's print in a book until you believe it. It's the words of some pastor or evangelist or the word of some fivefold minister. Praise God. I see, Nancy, that's you there tonight. No? I thought I saw her. I was looking over. Sometimes there's a little shadow that. But she was in the hospital and her platelets were just dangerously low. But the prayer of faith was prayed. And the prayer of faith was believed. And she's out of the hospital with her platelets way up there. If not where they should be, on the way to where they should be. So the first report is not the last report if you believe the Word of God. The first report is not the last report if you believe the Word of God. Every promise of God contains the power of God necessary to produce what it promises when it is believed and acted on. I want to say that one more time. Every promise of God contains the power of God necessary to produce what it promises when it is believed and acted upon. Proverbs 4:22 said, God's promises are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. God's promises are life, life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. But you see, you've got to believe it. And you've got to act upon it. And when you believe it and when you act upon it, God's word goes to work for you. Hallelujah. You memorize it. You meditate it. You speak it out loud. You pray it. You believe it. Hallelujah. You wake up in the middle of the night quoting the Word of God. One verse of God can and will change your life. I said one verse from God's Word can and will change your life. He said in Exodus 23, 25 and 6, I will take sickness away from you. The number of your days I will fulfill. Hallelujah. Oh, I hear people saying it. I hear people saying it. Really, in my family, with the men of my family, I'm long life in my family. Hallelujah. You say, is that a surprise? No. I'm believing God for that. I have believed God for that. I've got work to do. I've got a job to do. I have things to fulfill. Hallelujah. God said, I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Well, all of our family. I saw this so real years ago. We had a man, he's going to be with the Lord now, but he was a tennis pro here in one of the recreational centers in Fort Worth. And he was fascinated by the Word, but he had a tendency to kind of get a little fear slip in. And he'd call me every once in a while. He said, you know, Pastor, he said, you know, every man in my church has had a heart attack at age, I'm thinking it was 54. Every man in my granddaddy had it. My daddy had it. And I heard that my great-granddaddy had it. And he said every time he'd get a little pain, he'd get a little uneasy about that. And, you know, sure enough, he got through playing a game of tennis with his heart doctor and had a heart attack at 54 years of age. When I got to the hospital, I said, you know, I know where this came from. I know where this came from. And we set ourselves in agreement that we're not going to surrender ourselves to a family curse of any kind. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. You say, well, everybody in my family is a diabetic. You don't have to be. Everybody in my family has a certain disease or a certain weakness or whatever. You don't have to submit to that. Oh, without faith it is impossible to please God, for they that come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it's impossible to please God. Now remember, every promise in the book is only a promise on a printed page until you believe it, until you speak it, until you embrace it. It's real. It will be real tomorrow, the next day, and will be real throughout eternity. But it will not be real to you as long as it's just in a book or just in your Bible. But when you read a promise and you know that you know that you know that you know that is for me. That is God speaking to me. That is God speaking to me. I embrace that. I believe that. Hallelujah. And I receive the healing power of God. Then the healing power of God begins to go to work for you. James, the first chapter, verses 6 and 7, but let them ask in faith. In faith. Not fear, not fatalism, but faith. Nothing wavering. You say, well, I prayed and I wavered. Pray again. Hallelujah. You say, well, I prayed again and I still wavered. Pray again. Pray again until you put that wavering under. Hallelujah. For they that waver are like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And let not those who waver think that they shall receive anything of the Lord. That's in James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. You know, fear is twisted faith. That's one of the most profound things I've heard in a long time. That just came to me recently. Faith, fear is twisted faith. You say, well, I don't have faith. Oh, yeah, you've got faith in your unbelief. That was a direct hit to somebody's spirit. Fear is twisted faith. You're going to believe something. People believe the negative. People that talk about bad luck, hard luck. I guess certain things will happen to me. They have faith in the statements they're making. But they're not statements of faith. They're statements of fear. Fear is twisted faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. They that come to God must. Did you hear me? I said, the word said must. They that come to God must believe that he is. Well, sure, we believe there's a God in heaven. We're so blessed to have roses brought into our home and given to us. And I don't know what there is about that, but you know, how can you look at a rose and not believe there is a God? How can you look at something that even when they're getting old and tired, they still, you can see the hand of God, of course, not just in a rose, but in any work of God. How can you look at a garden? How can you look at anything that grows and not see God? The consistency of a rose, the color of a rose, the texture of a rose. My. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Okay, he is. But you got to go further than that, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder. God is a good God. God is a rewarder. God is a good God. He that cometh to God, and not just in the realm of healing, in the realm of finances, in the realm of breakthrough, in the realm of maybe marriage breakthrough or relationship breakthrough. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those that found a promise of God and would not let go until they saw the manifestation of the promises of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Oh, the Spirit of God is moving in this room. Hallelujah. God is a rewarder. Hallelujah. Noah built an ark. Took him 120 years. Man, that's a long time for a building program. And then God said, go in the ark. And he goes in the ark, but he still believes God in the ark. And the day comes when he sends out to see if he can find. So you remember, sent the dove out to see if he can find any green. No green. But he doesn't give up because God is a rewarder. But oh, the day came when the dove came back with green in his little beak. Because God is a rewarder. Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a baby. Sarah laughed. But I got a little insight on that. Sarah had the first laugh, but she also had the last laugh. She had the last laugh. Glory to God. Don't give up on the first laugh. Amen. Oh, I had a little chuckle. Don't give up on the chuckle. Hang in there. Glory to God. I'll tell you, God touched Cindy the other night, and I mean the power of God came on her. And she was doing some carpet time here. And I mean, the joy of the Lord was flowing out of Sydney. And I just watched you. I could see Jesus all over you, Cindy. I could see Jesus all over you. You say, well, what happened? She received. She received. She received. It's only a promise on printed page until you receive it. But when you receive it, every promise of God is pregnant with the power of Almighty God to fulfill what that verse is promising. It's more than print. Don't sell God short. It's more than a printed page. Don't sell God short. The moment you start believing it, the power of God goes into operation. Oh, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Has he spoken and shall he not make it good? So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Isaiah 55. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing whereunto I have sent it. Your Bible is full of promises that have already been sent, but we haven't embraced them yet. Our Bible, your Bible, our Bibles are filled with exceeding great and precious promises that God has already given to us. But they're only a printed page until you embrace them. And you're embracing them in faith, believing, activates the promises of God. Oh, thank God. Don't doubt God. If you must doubt something, doubt your doubts because they are unreliable. But never doubt God. Never doubt the Word of God. D.L. Moody, that great man of God of years gone by, said, is there any reason why you should not have faith in God? Show me any reason. Show me any good reason. One good reason why you should not have faith in God. Oh, I tell you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The Bible said in Psalms 105, verse 37, God brought them forth and there was not one feeble person among them. Can you believe that 3 million people far surpassed any health plan? 3 million people didn't have to go to the hospital. 3 million people didn't have to see a doctor. 3 million people didn't have to take a pill except a gospel. I'm not condemning. Hey, please. I'm not condemning. I'm just saying there's something better and there's something higher and there's something more powerful. And I think many of you are just ready to plug into it tonight. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Hallelujah. He brought them forth and there was not one feeble person among them. Oh, a couple of more verses. Psalms 103 verse 3. Who forgiveth all of thy iniquities. Who healeth all of thy diseases. Do you realize when you prayed the sinner's prayer, if there was one sin at that point that God did not forgive or would not forgive on your behalf, that your salvation could not have been perfect? Do you realize no matter what kind of a life you've lived or what kind of a life you've had, when you call upon the name of the Lord, he forgives all of our sins? Hallelujah. Think now, hold on to that. Every evangelical, fundamental, Bible-thumping, New Testament Christian that has faith in the Word of God believes that when God saves a person, he forgives them of all their sins, right? I mean, the Baptists believe that. The Lutherans believe, I mean, if they believe the doctrine. The Methodists believe that. The Presbyterians believe that. They, I could go on and on of people that believe that the Bible is a true book and who believe that when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, in other words, when you're born again, when you accept Christ, that He forgives all of your sins. Now, you can mess up along the way because the righteousness of God in Christ can choose to sin. But I'm talking about what got you in the kingdom of God, what got you born again, was because He forgave all of your past sins. Hallelujah. But why in the world are we so slow as Bible-thumping evangelical, believe the Word of God, folks, to take the other part of that verse, who not only forgives all of our sins, but forgiveth all. But the Bible said healeth all of our diseases. The same word that said He forgives all of our sins. Thank God our sins have been forgiven, but our sicknesses have already been healed on the cross of Calvary. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the finished work of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank God for the old rugged cross. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the finished work of Calvary. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. Who forgiveth all of thine iniquities, who healeth all. You say, well, it hasn't happened yet. Well, start believing it. Start saying it. Hallelujah. I believe that all my iniquities are forgiven. I believe all my sins are under the blood. Hallelujah. I believe my past is past at last. Oh, thank God. Now let's get the other half of that verse. Who healeth all? Who healeth all? Not some, but all. All. Hallelujah. Oh, I love to hear them say that in Australia. They can get more mileage out of an all. All. They just roll on with it, you know. Healeth all of our diseases. From the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, we are not only forgiven of every sin past, but oh, thank God, the finished work of the cross declares that He healeth all of our diseases. Hallelujah. Well, you say, Brother Nichols, some of those verses you talked about were back in the Old Testament. Well, so is your faith. I'm a New Testament, New Covenant believer, aren't you? But wherever I find a promise, I'll get it. I mean, anything that's strong enough to keep 3 million people healed, I'm going to pursue that. Anything that worked for 3 million people, I'm all in. I'm all in on that one. But thank God for Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, not Mohammed, not Buddha, not Confucius, not metaphysical, but Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What happened to us As children, many of us sang in Sunday school or in vacation Bible school, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm living in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. And we grow up and we grow out of that. And we start questioning the finished work of Calvary. Child of God, I'm here to tell you tonight that the healer is still alive. Jesus Christ came into this world not only to save the lost, but He came into this world to heal all that were oppressed of the enemy, for God was with Him. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Well, there's more, but I think I've said what needs to be said tonight. Praise God, praise God. Get that promise off the page. Get it in your heart. Oh, don't let it just be print on a page in your Bible, but embrace the promises of God. Embrace the promises of God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Praise God. Brother David, I want you to bring that chair out here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Yeah, just put it right there somewhere. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Maybe just a little bit closer. Yeah, there we go. Praise God. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, every time I drive by Farrington Field, I remember Oral Roberts, when he came with his tent, seating thousands of people on the parking lot that's still there. I mean, you know, that whole area has just blossomed in all kinds of building, but the parking lot is still there, right there by the bridge on Lancaster, Farrington Field parking lot. Brother Oral Roberts twice brought his big top tent to Fort Worth and prayed for the sick. We had personal friends of our family. She was dying with tuberculosis. You hardly ever hear of that nowadays. You hear of it in third world nations where maybe the health is not what it should be and so on. But for some reason, you used to hear quite a bit of, or you'd hear it more often than should be here in our own America. Her name was Betty. Her husband's gone on to be with the Lord, but she's still working in a mission down in Mexico. And we hear from them every once in a while. The doctor said she has days to live. They brought her in on a cot. The ambulance brought her in. She was very delicate. The doctor said she's in the process of dying. But I never will forget Oral Roberts. I'm not trying to be Oral Roberts tonight, but sometimes it's just good to relax and let God do the work. You know, the Bible said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. You know why some people don't pray for the sick? They think they're going to have to do it. It's the power of God. I said it's the power of God. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. The Lord shall raise them up. There's a healer in the house tonight. We were in the health clinic. They're getting our shots for Uganda. A couple of months, we'll be going to celebrate 20 years on the air there at Lighthouse Television. And, of course, you find out about all the trouble spots of Ebola and typhoid and yellow fever and all of that. And I've got two arms tonight. Thank God they're still connected to me. Amen. But that's a safety precaution that you have as you go into other lands. And as I sat there, you know, you don't hear those diseases. Do we realize how blessed we are in America? Do we realize how blessed we are in America? Health-wise, food-wise. Food-wise, Dr. Vaughn just got back from overseas. She was out where people were eating out of the garbage dump. No clean water. Eating out of the garbage dump. And I've been guilty just like you've been guilty. You know, I can get lost in a food mart. One night I was in a hurry trying to get home, and I wanted to pick up just three or four things, and I was not familiar with the store. And I was pushing that cart, and I was kind of fussing. I thought, good night, I can't find anything here. And finally, an employee of the store came up and said, may I help you? And they knew exactly where it was. But I thought, oh, God, how blessed we are. Oh, God, how blessed we are to have clean water. Amen. Even if you don't drink bottled water, even out of the faucet, you have water that won't kill you. We have food, and all the precautions that food comes to you without contamination and all of that. And if, God forbid, something happens, I agree with Oral Roberts, sometimes God, it seems, has chosen to work through doctors and through medicine. Doctors are doing more for people than preachers are, really. That's the truth of the matter. Thank God for hospitals and doctors. There's no condemnation. No condemnation. But God just wants to heal some folks here tonight. God wants to heal some folks here. Hallelujah. I said God wants to heal some folks in this room tonight. If you sense in your spirit, I need a healing. And I want hands laid on me. I want you just to stand up and come forward. Just stand up. Jesus Christ is the same. I don't know that I've figured it out in my head how I want this to go, but I know I'm doing what I saw myself doing. I'm sitting right here in this chair. Praise God. Just come right on up. Just right here. Praise God. Right here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Sheila Bakoto. Would you be on the healing team tonight? Would you pray in the Spirit? Would you believe God with me? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's healing in the audience tonight. There's a healing wave of God that's just sweeping through here. God will heal by the laying on of hands. God will heal you right there in your pew as you receive the word. There may be a verse of God's word. Just open your Bible, lay your hand on it, and just say, I receive it. And start incorporating it in the name of Jesus. Now, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Release the healing power of God. Now, if you will, just move them aside, if you will. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I've got to have room to work here. Praise God. Come on over. Yes. Amen. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Father, I lay hands right now in the name of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Era oh, yeah, 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 boy. Heal. Oh, the power of God, my Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, just lift your hands like it was a hold up. Surrender. Healed. The fire of God be upon you. Hallelujah. My Lord. Some of you are going to get it for you. Yeah. Hey, healed. Heal the fire of God, the fire of God. Ooh, come here a little closer. Yeah. Hey, heal. Let it, receive it, receive it. Power of God's all over this front area. Praise God, hallelujah. Oh, be healed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. The healing power of God. The healing power of God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Brother David, I want you to go up in the balcony and pray. Go up in the balcony. Yeah. You know where you're going. Praise God. Amen. My Janet's up there. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Just take your time. You don't have to be in a hurry. Just take your time. Where'd she go? Oh, gone. Oh, yada devotion. Healed by the power of Almighty God. Ah, the fire of God. Fire of God. Oh, he the Bohoshia. Oh, let the joy flow, brother. What are you holding back on God for? Yeah, let the joy, just let it flow. 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 Hallelujah. Rejoice tonight, saints. Rejoice. There's a healer in the house. Oh, la bakaria da la bashaka. Oh, just receive your healing. Receive your joy. Receive your release. Oh, receive your miracle tonight. My Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's let somebody else in here. Praise God. Come on. Oh, be healed. The fire of God. Fire of God. The fire. Fire. The fire of God. Fire of God. Fire of God. Oh, yes, Lord. The fire of God. Ooh. Receive that now. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. And receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Oh, yeah. Oh, the fire, the lightning of God. Hallelujah. Bohoshi kataya. There's some things you need to let go now, Erna. There's some things you need to let go. God's not going to make you, but you just let them go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Oh, rakarakusha. Oh, riabarakushi kataya. I believe God. I believe. Hey, 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 hey. I felt a wave come in now. Hey, let it come on. Receive that. Receive it. Come on. Receive it. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Yes, God. The fire of God. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, we load up so quickly. Father, help her to unload right now. I command you to unload the fire of God to be upon you.